Welcome to Resolutions, the official podcast of the American Bar Association, Section of Dispute Resolution. Every episode is a journey into the heart of conflict resolution, guided by our diverse community of experts. We're here to explore innovative strategies, share wisdom from the field, and inspire excellence in resolving disputes. Whether you're a dispute resolution professional, a curious learner, or someone passionate about fostering understanding and peace, you're in the right place. Let's dive into today's conversation and discover how we can transform conflict into opportunity together.
I'm your host, Aaron Gotthelf. This week, I'm sitting with American Arbitration Association Vice President of Innovation, Linda B.A., to discuss AI and the intersection of ADR. Linda is the American Arbitration Association's Vice President of Innovation, overseeing AAA's innovation program and innovation efforts. She joined the AAA as a case manager in 2001 and has advanced in positions involving operations, business development, and innovation. Prior to joining AAA, Linda worked in the public schools of Rhode Island and in human services. She earned a BA summa cum laude from Rhode Island College, an MBA from the University of Georgia, and an executive certificate in strategy and innovation from the MIT Sloan School of Management. All right, before we start, I just want to give everybody a quick disclaimer that we are not giving any legal advice. And as always, please, before using any AI tool, you should read the terms and conditions. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Aaron. It's a pleasure to be here.
So AI, very on the tip of everybody's tongue, on the top of everybody's mind, especially in the legal world. And why not have a discussion about AI and the intersection of ADR as more and more neutrals are learning about it? We're going to start very basic here with a very easy introductory question for folks that might not be up to date on everything that with AI or even know what it is. But for those new to the topic, could you briefly explain what is artificial intelligence and specifically what is generative AI?
Sure. So artificial intelligence is a broad term which describes a machine's ability to mimic human-like cognitive functions. So I find it helpful to think of artificial intelligence as a basket of technologies. For example, natural language processing, like speech recognition and text translation, machine vision, like medical image analysis or facial recognition, robotic process automation and manufacturing, AI assistants like Siri and Alexa and smart appliances and so on. These are AI applications that have been in our lives for a number of years now. But generative AI took the world by storm in late 2022 when OpenAI launched ChatGPT. And generative AI is a subset of artificial intelligence technologies that can generate new content, such as text, images, audio, video, and even computer code. So generative AI systems have been trained on a vast data set of existing examples from which they produce original outputs. And that's what really distinguishes them from traditional artificial intelligence.
Okay, so we have traditional AI, like you mentioned, Siri as AI 1.0, and now we have generative AI, which is like 2.0, the next version of AI as it progresses along with the technology.
Sure, you could think of it that way.
All right, now the million-dollar question, and probably why everybody's tuning in, how is AI currently being utilized in the field of alternative dispute resolution?
So I want to start answering that question by talking about a webinar I watched recently by Zach Abramowitz. As many of your listeners may know, Zach is the founder of Killer Whale Strategies, a consulting firm that works with Am Law 100 firms, Fortune 500 legal departments, the Big Four, among others. Zach has a Substack called Zach Abramowitz is Legally Disrupted, along with a webinar series and a podcast. And as a matter of fact, he is doing a brand new podcast with AAA called the AAA AI. Anyone interested can learn more about that at our website. But in his recent Legally Disrupted webinar, he described four approaches that firms are taking to adopting AI. So they could be using fine-tuned large language models, LLMs, like CoCounsel, Harvey, Spellbook. These are models that are fine-tuned or trained on legal domain data. They could be using general purpose models like ChatGPT, Claude, Copilot, and others. They could be building their own custom AI that is solution-centric. And finally, the legal tech tools that they're currently using could be incorporating AI into their products, and then that's advancing their adoption. So we are in the very early days of ADR practitioners utilizing AI in their practice. However, before long, generative AI will be infused into many, if not all, of the legal tech tools that advocates and neutrals already use. And it's going to be infused into other tech tools we all use, like Microsoft products, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Google, etc. I'll speak about a few of the fine-tuned LLM products that specialize in the legal space, including CoCounsel and VLix Vincent. So back in May of last year, the AAA convened a group of 5 arbitrators and mediators to experiment with generative AI. And we asked them to explore use cases for neutrals. They were given access to Case Tech's CoCounsel, which is now owned by Thomson Reuters. And Aaron, after experimenting for several months with CoCounsel and some of the general purpose LLMs, they published an article that's available at AAA's website. It's entitled Dispute Resolution Enhanced, How Arbitrators and Mediators Can Harness Generative AI. So I encourage everyone that's interested in learning about how arbitrators and mediators can effectively use AI in their practice to check out that article. But in it, they set forth several use cases for neutrals that include document analysis, such as searching a document like a contract or a set of documents like evidentiary exhibits to answer substantive questions. AI's ability to understand the meaning of text makes it much more effective than strictly searching for exact word matches. Another use case was comparing content across various documents, such as to identify evidentiary inconsistencies or comparing contracts, or a mediator might compare documents to find overlapping interests among the parties. Another use case is document summarization and timeline generation, and also legal research. So I know there's different schools of thought as to whether arbitrators really should be doing legal research, but certainly you can imagine a mediator asking a legal research question to explore the law on a specific topic in preparation for the mediation. And then finally, document generation. Generative AI can be used to draft a clause, draft a procedural order, or in the case of mediation, drafting settlement agreements. And in fact, AAA has created a clause builder AI tool that will generate ADR clause language. And that's going to launch publicly in the near future. We also created an automated AI drafted scheduling order tool that is being used on our fast track construction cases right now to expedite the arbitrator's preparation of the preliminary hearing order. These are some examples of how the arbitrators in our pilot applied generative AI in their practice and how AAA as a provider is actually applying these tools to ADR.
And just to give a quick plug for AAA AI Labs, for folks that go to our webpage, ADR.org, you can navigate to AAA AI Labs and see some of the things that AAA is working on. You mentioned briefly Clause Builder. We've had clausebuilder.org for a number of years. Essentially, it's a website that folks could go to and they could create a custom arbitration provision by answering a few questions and copying and pasting it into a contract. The next generation of that's going to be Clause Builder AI, which you mentioned. And if folks go to the website, they can actually sign up to help us beta test Clause Builder AI. And we're really excited to actually have input from attorneys in the field that actually are going to be using the technology. What are the most significant benefits AI brings to the ADR process? And you touched on mediation and arbitration briefly and how it can be used, but does it benefit mediation and arbitration one more than the other? You think everyone's going to benefit?
I do. And the arbitrators and mediators in our pilot concluded that it's a tool that it can enhance a neutral's performance by improving efficiency, offering deeper insights, and providing a level of precision previously unattainable. So at this time, perhaps the most impactful benefits are related to productivity, which creates time and cost savings. I'd mentioned that AAA's automated scheduling order as an example of how it saves time. Our AI automated scheduling order tool takes a transcript of a preliminary hearing and it drafts a scheduling order in less than 1 minute. And that draft is then reviewed by the arbitrator for accuracy, and then it's finalized and executed. So the AI produced draft gets the arbitrator 80 or 90% of the way there, thus saving significant time for the arbitrator in writing the order. So that's just one specific example to give you, but yeah, most certainly right now, productivity related benefits, I would say, are primary, and for mediators and for arbitrators and advocates as well.
As a former case manager myself, and I know you've spent some time in case management, I think anything that helps the arbitrator get that scheduling order out after the preliminary hearing a little quicker than usual is something that we can appreciate. We don't have to spend days and sometimes weeks chasing these arbitrators down to get that thing drafted. And you actually merged right into my next question, which was, can you provide examples of AI tools that are particularly useful in supporting or facilitating the ADR process? That's definitely one of them. One thing that I was thinking about just the other day was at AAA, and I know other providers and whatnot, a lot of people talk about DEI these days, and the E in DEI is equity, right? And I know at AAA, for example, some of the stuff that we're working on with AI is helping, let's say, pro se litigants or litigants in general have an easier time with the filing process, where to find the right documents, auto-populating things. And in a way, that's a lot of the equity kind of argument, because there's a fundamental argument out there that some people think, at least in the consumer context or in the pro se litigant context, that arbitration might not necessarily be fair, especially if the other side has an attorney and the one party doesn't. But these are all things that are going to help in some level the playing field. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We definitely see AI as a tool for democratizing access to ADR. As our CEO often states, that the vast majority of people with legal needs cannot afford attorneys, and the emerging AI tools will make access to legal intelligence and resources within reach. So you mentioned, Aaron, generative AI chatbots that can answer questions about AAA as a chatbot that we're developing that answer questions that filers may have that may not be represented by an attorney, but you can imagine that there will be chatbots that can answer questions about the arbitration process and other legal questions that you may not need an attorney for. So there's one organization called Joseph, J-O-S-E-F, that we've done a little bit of work with, and they have a mission to expand access to justice. Anybody interested can find them at josephlegal.com, but they work with many legal aid organizations to make legal services more accessible for everyone, and they're using AI to do that.
All right. Like with any new technology, there's always going to be some challenges and limitations in the beginning. We're learning as we go along, as well as the technology is learning itself. What are some of the challenges or limitations in integrating AI into the ADR process?
Yeah. So one of the current limitations that I think probably all your listeners are familiar with is that many generative AI tools hallucinate. That means that they do not always produce reliable and accurate output. But this is more of a problem with general purpose models like ChatGPT. And anyone that uses ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude, any of the tools, there's a prominent warning that the output may not always be accurate. At this time in our use of generative AI tools, it is the responsibility of the user to verify the accuracy of the output and not just blindly accept the AI's response. However, the fine-tuned legal AIs that I mentioned before, like CoCounsel and Vlex Vince, they have taken steps to mitigate and eliminate hallucinations by having the model draw from known and trusted sources like legal databases. And in fact, the AI output will hyperlink to cases and other sources directly where the information was taken from. Also, prompt engineering is used on the back end to control and put guardrails on the AI output. Another concern is bias. So users should be aware that the AI tools can reflect bias that is contained in the data that it was trained on. That said, bias is also a concern for humans. So that's nothing new, but you want to be certainly aware of that. And then finally, there's the challenge of ensuring privacy of data. So enterprise paid versions of these AI tools will typically ensure privacy and confidentiality of data, and that user inputs will not be used to train the models.
All right, that's very important to mention that a lot of these AI tools, there's a free version and there's a paid version, and people usually say, what's the difference between the paid and the free? The first version is, they say there's no such thing in life as a free lunch. And if you're not paying for the product, you are probably the product, right? That's the saying. So the first thing is with the paid versions, there's a higher level of confidentiality and data security. In addition to that, the paid versions should be the most kind of up-to-date versions as far as where they pull the information from. I know there's, I believe, was it 2001, 2021, 2022, the most recent free version of ChatGPT goes through? I know it's not 2024 or 2023.
No. And so, yeah, and you get more powerful. So they're more advanced models you get access to if you pay a subscription fee. So, yeah.
That actually feeds nicely into our next question. In terms of data privacy and security, what measures are necessary to protect the information handled by AI systems and ADR procedures? And I guess more importantly, do we know where the information actually goes?
Yeah. So again, back to your point, Aaron, about there's a difference between free and versus paid tools. As you said at the top of the show, whenever using an AI tool, you should read the terms and conditions and the privacy policy to confirm if your information will be kept private. So CoCounsel and Vlex, for example, do assure the privacy of user inputs and do not use such for training their models. Also, enterprise versions of OpenAI tools and Copilot, for example, do the same. So on a tool-by-tool basis, if you want to know what their terms are and their privacy policies, it may differ tool-by-tool, so you want to look at them individually.
Along the lines of privacy policies and ethical use guidelines, are there any ethical considerations or dilemmas that arise from the use of AI and ADR? How can they be addressed? And does the AAA have specific guidelines?
Yes, absolutely. So AAA has issued arbitrator guidance on the use of generative AI. And in accordance with the Code of Ethics for Commercial Arbitrators, our guidelines state that arbitrators must maintain the confidentiality of matters. So again, back to what we were just talking about, they should read and understand the terms of service, privacy policy, and best practices for the generative AI tools, and avoid entering confidential case information into a tool if it does not protect that information from use or disclosure. Second, the arbitrators have a duty of competence, and so they must verify the accuracy of the information they rely on. And we talked about that a few moments ago. Arbitrators also have a duty to preserve the fairness of the arbitration process to the extent that the arbitrator is going to rely on any information from a generative AI tool. AAA advises that they should provide that information to the parties and give them an opportunity to address it. And then finally, arbitrators have an obligation not to delegate the duty to decide matters, but they should exercise their independent judgments. Yeah, so these are ethical guidelines that align with the code of ethics that our arbitrators abide by.
I think that last point is particularly important. When an arbitrator writes an award, signs the bottom of that award, it's their decision. It's not the decision of some generative AI program or relying on a generative AI program to tell them who should win, who should lose, who gets what. So that's critical. So a question that's been on my mind and probably a lot of people listening to this podcast's mind recently is where this is all leading. And will AI eventually replace human neutrals? And if so, how close do you think we are to that?
So at this time, it seems unlikely that AI will entirely replace human neutrals, particularly for high dollar or complex disputes. But with the rapid advancement of the technology, it is plausible that parties will agree at some point to refer their smaller or simpler disputes to AI for a quicker, more cost-effective resolution. So I think today, AI can act as an assistant to neutrals and advocates to facilitate a more efficient and economical process. What we are likely to see emerge in the short term are AI agents taking actions on behalf of people. So I had an interesting experience recently where I received an email from an AI tool about an hour before a virtual meeting, and it said, "Hi, I'm Fred from Firefly's AI. I am an AI assistant. I help teams record and transcribe meetings." And then it showed up to our virtual meeting and took notes and then provided a link to the notes after the meeting. Interestingly, I have heard reports of other such AI note takers appearing at virtual meetings on cases, even in place of a person. So whether that technically qualifies as an AI agent may be debated, but you can imagine moving in that direction. Yeah, on some cases, definitely there will be AI decision makers.
And just one area that we're already seeing some use of AI in, or at least at AAA, is our partnership with Optima Juris and some of the tools that they have, especially their virtual court reporter function, where the parties are recorded and then those conversations are transcribed as a court reporter would transcribe them. But before people say that just got rid of the job of all the human court reporters or humans don't have any place in the technology, there still is a human being that reviews those transcripts and checks them for accuracy and tries to fill in the blanks. So the technology is not quite there. And I would certainly say, whether in the legal world or just customer service in general, anybody that's had to use a chat bot to ask questions and get an issue resolved, it's not 100% there yet. There are questions you can ask a chat bot that might stump it. Not to go off on too much of a tangent, I had an issue the other couple months ago. I signed up for a new driver's license and was waiting for my renewal to come in the mail. They actually mailed me the card and my driver's license never came. And the DMV told me that the chat bot would be the best way to deal with my problem as opposed to waiting on the phone for a long time. And I simply asked the chat bot where my driver's license was and it couldn't figure it out. So eventually it was smart enough to know to turn the conversation over to a human operator of the chat bot. And they were able to find out what had happened. But that was a very simple prompt that I gave that chat bot that nearly broke it. Technology is not 100% there yet.
No, not yet.
Yeah. How do you envision the future of ADR evolving with the advancement of AI technology?
I believe that generative AI offers us the opportunity to deliver on the promise of ADR as a faster and more economical method of dispute resolution, unlike anything else I've seen in more than 20 years that I've been in the field. It will enable earlier resolution of disputes by giving parties the ability to evaluate the strengths and weaknesses of their positions, and identify overlapping interests. Ultimately, I believe it will provide an effective way to actually prevent and mitigate conflict before it escalates into full-blown dispute. There are AI abilities such as sentiment analysis may eventually be able to detect emerging conflict and prompt and aid parties with suggestions for early resolutions. Yeah, I think ultimately it will really help us prevent disputes and mitigate them before they escalate to arbitration or litigation.
And early dispute resolution is a very hot topic right now in the dispute resolution world, and early neutral evaluations and resolving disputes at their earliest juncture before they get too far down the road and start costing the parties a lot of money. This is a lot of interesting new technology, and it's only as valuable as the folks that use it. We know that some law firms are already experimenting with some of this technology. I'm actually doing a presentation in a couple of weeks, and the law firm that I'm presenting with has already issued their own guidelines for the use of AI and generative AI, more probably to quell any fears that their clients might have that some robot is doing all the work and human attorneys aren't involved. But it's still really important, though, for practitioners that are currently in the ADR space, obviously, to learn about this technology and kind of start doing some training. What advice would you give to ADR practitioners looking to incorporate AI into their practice? Are there any resources or training programs that you'd recommend?
Yeah, I strongly encourage everyone to learn about generative AI and begin experimenting with a variety of tools now. There's no substitute for hands-on experimentation in helping you gain an understanding of how generative AI works and what it is capable of. As we've been discussing, the technology is rapidly advancing with unprecedented adoption rates, and you don't want to be left behind trying to catch up. So definitely now is the time. Other than jumping in and experimenting, I highly recommend that listeners check out the Artificial Intelligence Show podcast. It's produced by Paul Raitzer and Mike Kaput from the Marketing AI Institute, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. It is an invaluable resource for keeping up with generative AI developments on a weekly basis, and it's very accessible for people at all levels of technical understanding. I would also encourage everyone to check out AAA's new podcast called the Triple AI Podcast that is co-hosted by our CEO, Bridget McCormick, and Zach Abramowitz.
And I remember Bridget's said more than once that AI is not necessarily going to replace mediators and arbitrators. It's just going to replace mediators and arbitrators that don't know how to use the technology.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So it's important to get out there and learn the technology. This has been very enlightening to me. And when I was thinking of who at AAA to do this podcast with, I thought, who knows the most about innovation? Our Vice President of Innovation right here at Linda BA. Linda, do you have anything else that you'd like to add or any other directions you'd like to point people?
I would just say, just jump in and start playing with it. Don't be afraid. Just start off with very simple use cases and prompts, maybe something personal, ideas for vacation plans or recipes. So yeah, but they're really right now, that is the best way to learn. I'm going to recommend one other resource. There's if you haven't heard of Ethan Mollick, he is a professor that has a Substack newsletter that I encourage everyone to check that out as well. And his Substack is called One Useful Thing.
One Useful Thing. Okay, fantastic. All right. And with that concludes today's podcast episode. Everybody, thanks for listening. Thank you, Linda, for speaking with me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
And everybody, get out there, test out the AI. And like I said, have fun with it. It's fun to play around with these tools, and they can be very valuable to your practice. See ya.
Thank you for joining us on Resolutions. Today's episode has illuminated the powerful impact of effective dispute resolution and showcased the incredible individuals who dedicate themselves to this important work. Our mission is to explore the diverse world of dispute resolution, and we hope we've inspired you to engage with conflict and collaboration in new ways. If you're not yet a member of the ABA section of dispute resolution, we invite you to join our community of professionals making a difference. Your involvement can help us build a more harmonious society together. And if you found value in our conversations, please consider leaving us a review and a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Your feedback helps us reach more people and continue our journey towards excellence in dispute resolution. Until next time, keep solving problems, building bridges, and creating positive changes in your communities.